Hey, this is Alan Wyatt with AwesomeFishingRadio.com. We'd like to thank all of our listeners on the air and on iTunes and remind you that if you'd like more information about any of our guests, any of our products, or if you'd like to go fishing with Captain Keelan and chart our trip, just come to AwesomeFishingRadio.com. All the information is there. Thanks for listening.
We're going to talk about nearshore grouper fishing at the wintertime.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and we're going to talk about the Bay Area and fishing some of the bridges, the rock piles. We're going to talk about trolling using X-Wraps. Those real large lip diving X-Wraps.
Yeah, the wrapless stuff's great.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about grouper. 3, 2, 1. Awesome Fishing Radio would like to thank our sponsors, Andy Thornell Company, Costa Del Mar Sunglasses, Malibu Kayaks, Mudhole, Rolls Axle, and Coastal Angler Magazine.
And welcome to Awesome Fishing Radio. And how you doing, Alan?
Awesome Fishing. I'm doing awesome. Doing awesome. Yeah.
Hey, Alan, you know, I wanted to make sure that we talked to the listeners about, I've heard so many listeners calling in and going, hey, man, where y'all at? Y'all hadn't been on the air for a few weeks. We've been just caught up in vacations, and it's just, you know, when me and Alan get together and we got to have everything work perfectly, and, you know, if one's out of town, the other one's here, it's got to happen, and we can't do it from, you know, if we're on vacation and back and forth. But anyhow.
No excuses. I've been fishing.
That's been great, man.
Either that or the wood shop. And, man, I've been catching some bass. So,
great, man.
Right in a pond out back. You got to love it.
So is the fall time for the bass fishing starting to happen for you, man?
I don't know what it was. Well, I do know what it was. I've never caught bass, schooling bass before in the lakes. And that's, I think that's kind of a weird phenomenon they do locally. Uh-huh. But these little bugs will start hatching and all the shad will start pounding the bugs, kind of like a trout, you know, a trout hatch.
So, yeah, exactly.
And we start casting shad, you know, little shad flies. And oh my goodness, the action's fast and furious. So, we've been tying these jointed gummy minnows that just slay them. And, man, the Winter Haven chain is just producing a lot of fish. It's fun.
Great. I have actually used those gummy minnows in saltwater, but never jointed. How is that? How are you making that happen?
Oh, Phil Pope at our fly tying class showed us how to do this, and you do use two strands of monofilament in a triangular shape off the back of the hook and fold it over the mono, and it makes a beautiful fly. I'll post one up on the web.
That would be fantastic. Well, you know, Alan, one of the things we wanted to talk to, we wanted to get Captain Blake on the line. And
yes.
Are you there, Blake?
I'm here.
Man, I know that what we wanted to talk about in this show tonight was the nearshore fishing for grouper digging. For this time of year, the wintertime, the grouper really drive into the shallower waters. And I know Captain Blake has been spending some time on the water just really doing some serious grouper digging. Hopefully we'll have some of those photos up with some of the catch that Blake's been bringing in.
Sure.
Blake, tell us a little bit what's been going on. I know you've been doing live baiting. I know you've been trolling with some plugs. It sounds like it's just really happening for you in Tampa Bay.
It is, and it's a gradual process that you have to wait on. Every year at the end of October, usually the mid-November is when it really starts heating up. The water's cooled down about 10 degrees, maybe, you know, 10, 12 degrees. And a lot of your grouper will move in with the water into these bridge areas. So anywhere that you've got structure, whether it's a bridge or whether it's some of the artificial reefs in Tampa Bay or Sarasota or Clearwater, any of those reefs are going to hold more grouper than they normally do. And you'd be surprised, some of the inshore you know, sunken ships and things like that, like smaller reefs where you got, you know, pleasure boaters have sunk, are holding decent-sized grouper, and it's nice. Just a process, you know. So, but there's a ton of them out there right now.
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
You always think of fishing for grouper offshore and,
right,
you know, having to make a run out there. So it's such a joy to be able to go right off the bridge and they're right here. And I never knew you could fish for them close to shore like this.
Yeah, and it's a great time of the year to do that. It's, you know, any of the places that you normally would go to catch your snapper or sheephead or anything like that,
okay,
are where you're going to find your grouper and even your small Goliath grouper this time of year. We pick up mostly gags and some small reds, but you will catch the occasional Goliath in there too. So,
oh, yeah.
But it's and you know it by the time you realize what's happened, your line's already gone. So
yeah, it's all over. Yeah.
You know, Blake, I wanted to tell everybody, a lot of the people are going, Goliath grouper? We haven't heard of that. Well, it used to be called Jewfish, but I guess we had to get politically correct, and that's why we call them Goliath grouper now. So,
You know,
and a lot of people remember back in the old days when they were called Jewfish, but they're going, what's a Goliath grouper, you know?
Well, I like the new name. It's one of the few politically correct names that I actually like. So it's very appropriate.
It is extremely appropriate.
Yeah, I wonder when they're going to change the Spanish mackerel name and take Spanish off of that. So
no, I think that's okay.
The displaced person fish, huh?
What's that?
Yeah, it'll be the displaced person fish.
The displaced person.
Spanish mackerel, I mean, that would be, you know, European, an issue with someone from Europe. They don't know we have Spanish mackerel here. They don't have a clue.
No, I mean, the fishing has been great lately. I can't complain. We got a my biggest right now, you're going to average – until the colder months get here, and it stays hot until about the 1st of January. So you got the whole month of November and whole month of December usually where these big grouper move in, and they get bigger as the time goes. The end of November, end of October, the first part of November, you're going to catch a lot of 19, 20s, and 21s. And then as the time progresses, you do start to catch the 22s and the 23s. And this week we even got a 28, which was a really, really nice fish for this time of year. And it's a work in progress. I mean, we started the season, you know, kind of finding out if we could find them. And, you know, we would go from, I think I was using 40-pound Berkeley big game, or it was some, I can't even tell you exactly at that particular point at the beginning of the season, and a 60-pound monofilament fluorocarbon leader. And I'd get hit and get broke off as quick as I could.
Nice.
So we moved up to 80 because we realized, you know, it's probably not, you know, our big snapper anymore. It's probably smaller grouper. So we moved up to 80. Well, then we were getting buzzed off pretty quick too. So we've actually went to 65-pound Power Pro on our reels, and then we tie in to 65-pound or 61-pound Malin leader, so which is the steel leader, the tooth proof. And we're not getting broke off at all. The only way you get broke off is. Yeah, absolutely. Because it's so thin, I mean, they're just watching the movement of the fish. So we're averaging about 10 to 12 a day while we're out there. And out of that, you'll get two or three keepers. But as the season progresses, like I said, you'll probably be able to weed out some more of the smaller fish and get a lot of the bigger fish. But there is the occasional, you know, Goliath down there that when he hits you, you know, you can't turn him around or anything. So it basically feels like you hook onto the bridge. But because they're just stubborn fish. So,
So Blake, how long does it, would you say this inshore grouper fish is?
3 months.
So,
I'd say usually 3 months, depending on the weather. Depending on how
goes
long
out
it stays
with the
cool.
New year or something like that.
Yeah. And I'm sure you still can find them going into the end of January, February, but you're not going to have them as plentiful. I mean, it's like they're here for a few months and then they're gone. You know, they're here for Christmas and then they're out of here. But I mean, they're here with the water, so it really depends. On our cooler months, you'll find them here, but when it starts to warm up, they're gone again because you know, they can get back out into the cooler water out deep. So, but there's a ton of them.
How do you like to fish for them?
Well, I'll tell you what, there's two ways that we have the most success, and one is just digging. One is, you know, just dead sticking some live pinfish about as big as your hand.
Yeah.
And the other way is trolling. We have a lot of success trolling. So we're fortunate that, you know, there's so many different lures out in the market right now that you know, drive the group are insane. But we enjoy mostly catching them on bait because it's easy. You're not worried about losing a $15 lure, and you just have to get some sabikis or a cast net and catch you a few dozen pinfish. So we go out and chum for the pinfish and put some squid on a sabiki and chum them up and then just get them in two or three at a time. So, but it's, you know, we're throwing big pinfish around structure. We've even used small grunts, and the grunts work well as well. I mean, I don't think the grouper really care because they're more of a scavenger fish anyway.
Yeah, they'll eat they'll eat a 24-inch Jack Crevalle too, I've learned.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, they'll eat anything they can. I cleaned that 28-inch the other day, and we found three different types of fish. He had a pinfish, a grunt, and then like a toadfish in his belly.
A toadfish?
Yeah, it was a pretty nasty looking fish, and then he had another hook hung in his belly.
That's awesome.
Yeah, another hook hung down in his belly, and I mean the fish are just real aggressive, and they don't really care. They just want something that's easy, and when you get, you know, five or six grouper in one spot, they're very competitive. So yeah, you're gonna catch one really quick if you drop a bait in there, and there's a few there because they're trying to compete with the other ones for loose bait. But trolling is a great way to, you'll get a lot of bigger fish trolling than you will because you're covering more space and you'll get those sparse, you know, one out in the middle of nowhere grouper compared to, you know, five little ones up against the bridge. So
how do you troll? Do you use your trolling motor or you use a big motor? Or?
No, I use a big motor and I troll it four knots. So once I see the boat, I put out the lines. I'll have somebody sit on the back and watch them, and I'll put out about 50 yards of line. And what we do with there is we tie in with 80-pound test, 80-pound fluorocarbon. And then do about about 3.5-4 feet of fluorocarbon. And then just troll 50, you know, about 50 yards behind the boat and, you know, at four knots. And you'll find a lot. And you want to troll as close to structure as you can, you know, whether it's a small reef or in and out of the bridge, the Skyway, or Courtney Campbell Causeway, whatever bridge you want to go through, it's you know, there's going to be grouper under all of them.
Nice. Very, very nice.
You know, Blake, a while ago when you were talking that you were rigging up that rod and you had Power Pro on it, we need to get our friend Jim Logston from Rapala and Suffolk to get you some of that heavy line for doing that grouper digging, because that Suffolk line seems to be very, very good comparison to what we've used in the past with the Power Pro.
Yeah, if he wants to throw some this way, I'll definitely field test it to the best of them.
Yeah, yes, we do.
The only thing that scares me is I did get a little nervous when I tied the 65-pound Power Pro on there with a steel leader because you don't get broke off. And the one good thing is when you have 80-pound, you know, fluorocarbon on, you know, 60 or 50 or 60-pound monofilament, you'll get broke off if you catch a big jewfish. You know, when you rig it to the extent that we have to try and, you know, protect the amount of fish that we get, the chances are you hook a big jewfish, you're done. I mean, you might lose a rod and everything.
Yeah.
So,
even a gunnel if it's in a rod holder.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, and they hit. I mean, when all these grouper hit, it's not light. You know it's a grouper because he hits it so hard and so quick. You have about 2 seconds to turn it around. Yeah. And if not,
sometimes I think it's sharks.
You know, if not, then you're going to lose the fish. So, but it's a lot of fun. It's a really competitive type of fish. It's a good thing for a few guys to go out on a boat and have a good time because it's definitely a strongman's type of fish. So even the smallest ones feel like you're hung on the bottom of the ocean.
So what are the current regulations in Florida as far as grouper are concerned?
Right now, I mean, the fish species that we go after is two per person, and that's the gag grouper. The gag grouper, they have to be 22 inches long. in the Gulf side. I think they have to be on the Atlantic side. I think it's 20 inches long, but on the Gulf side, you're going to find that 22 inches until January. Now there is talk about them closing the season down in January. It's been voted on, but we don't know what's going to happen. I know my dad and I were talking about it the other day, and but there is talk about them closing the season down to try and build up the number of gag grouper again. Been pretty. There's plenty of fish out there. So even with the regulations right now, I don't know why they'd want to close it down for a little while, but probably because they're scared about all the oil and who knows. I mean, absolutely, who knows.
So, how do those fish taste? They taste oil.
They taste amazing.
They don't taste oily in any way. To all of our friends from all over the planet.
Depends what type of oil you use. They might taste like Crisco, or they might taste like virgin olive oil, or
whatever you fry them in.
Yeah.
We've been definitely getting our fair share of blackened grouper sandwiches at the house.
Nice.
Hey, Blake. Now I had heard a rumor that y'all were catch and release. Now I had heard the proper way to release them was into 400 degree peanut oil.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Yeah. 10 degrees. Well, after all this talk about frying grouper, that's what I want to do right now is go fry some grouper. So
that sounds good.
I guess we should tell our iTunes listeners to look at awesomefishingradio.com. And all the other folks that downloaded this show and check out some of the stuff that we've got on the website. And I just got to say, Blake, thanks for cluing me in. How long have I lived in Florida my whole life and didn't know how to grouper fish in the winter? Crazy.
There you go.
Well, you know what's so nice about it, Alan, is you don't need a monstrous offshore boat to go and do this. The grouper that these guys are catching offshore are coming in for the wintertime, and you can actually do it out of your I've actually seen flat-bottom John boats out there doing it. You just got to pick and choose.
John boats out there every day.
Hell yeah. Just on a good day.
Yeah. You have to be careful, though, because you can go for a ride in a John boat real quick. But make sure you check your local weather, too, because it's you could be out there in the waves, even under the Skyway. The waves will get really big really quick, and then you're going to be stuck out there. So you don't want to get in trouble out there.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. So just pick and choose your days, and and be safe out there.
Absolutely. So yeah, it's been fun, guys. I'm glad you called me about it.
Well, thanks, Blake. I appreciate you visiting with us.
You're welcome. Well, y'all have a great evening, and I look forward to talking on here again.
You too.
Okay. Alan, right. Next best thing to fishing?
Talking about fishing.
We'll see y'all in next set show.
Okay, Steve, cast over there at 12 o'clock right there. See the fish?
How far?
Over there about 40 foot. Cast.
I can't see him. I'm not going to cast till
Steve,
I can see him.
Put your Costas on right now. Those new 580 lenses. You've got to turn around and have them on where you can see these fish, man, or you're going to blow our day.
There they are. Watch this, Keelan. Here they go.
Man, great hookup, man.
Andy Thornell Company. Outdoor clothing, footwear, and equipment since 1945. Our Orvis Fly Shop is one of the best in Florida, with over 700 fly patterns for saltwater, bass, and panfish. And we have a few hundred trout flies when you head for the mountains. And if you tie your own flies, we stock all of the materials and tools. Waders, vests, and the coolest fishing gadgets, including Boga grips and Calusa cast nets, are in stock. We wear fishing shirts year-round, and we have some of the best prices on Columbia, Ex Officio, and Under Armour shirts, including the new sunproof t-shirts and the buff head gear. And we realize that you cannot play every day, so we have some unexpected surprises, sport coats, dress shirts, and even neckwear for the gentlemen, and the ladies always find their way back to our custom jewelry shop. Andy Thornell Company, downtown Winter Haven, 299-9999, andythornell.com.
This is Captain Steve Nichols here of Awesome Fishing Radio, and along with Captain Keelan, our passion is fishing and helping others catch fish.
Captain Steve's right. We want to be on the water with our friends and family, not worrying about how we're going to get our boat there. That's why we rely on Rolls Axles trailers. Simply put, they're the most dependable trailer on the market.
That's because they're the only all-aluminum trailers made. They use only high-quality materials to produce a superior product. In fact, they have a patent on their aluminum springs.
And they're so confident that you'll never have to replace them that they offer a lifetime warranty on the springs. By using a combination of aluminum and stainless parts, Rolls Axle has created the only trailer you'll ever need.
They're located at 702 Hitchcock Street in Plant City, and you can check them out on the web at www.rollsaxle.com.
Or give them a call at 1-888-ROLLS-52. That is 1-888-765-5752. Make sure you told them that you heard about them on Awesome Fishing Radio.
Finally, a magazine published just for anglers who fish the Indian River Lagoon, Coastal Angler Magazine, with columns, news, events, and forums especially designed for the Florida fisherman. You can also check out the Coastal Angler online at CoastalAnglerMagazine.com. The Coastal Magazine for the Florida fisherman. Coastal Angler Magazine. It's also the magazine for Awesome Fishing Radio. Coastal Angler, subscribe today. Just log on to CoastalAnglerMagazine.com.